Now, to continue the second part of World Watchers, this is program 843, and my name is Mae Bressel. In case you pick this up just in the middle of the program and don't know who you're listening to, I want to mention a meeting that took place in the Defense Department in the Pentagon in 1983. And according to accounts, the meeting was for a secret panel assembled by the Reagan administration to direct an unofficial war. And this was before the amendments of the congressional bill that they couldn't have the war. They were planning their own unofficial war. The panel consisted of Edward G. Lansdale, and Lansdale died right after the Iran-Contra story broke, maybe coincidentally, but Mr. Mongoose himself, the man behind covert actions and operations, Lansdale was at the meeting. Edward Luttwak, the author of Coup d'etat, a manual on how to overthrow countries, and it came out just before our country had its coup in Dallas in 1963. Dr. Seal Doss, and he's from the American medical group that was working for the intelligence community in South America and in Vietnam, Southeast Asia. Dr. Sam Sarkisian, Andrew Messing, many of you saw Messing on the TV. He's part of the Soldier of Fortune and the far right wing group that works with Singlaub. Lieutenant Colonel John Wagnerstein, General Harry Adderholt, and Adderholt is part of Gung Ho and Soldier of Fortune and has his own magazine of that ilk, and General John Singlaub, also of Western Goals, who serves as the chairman of this organization. This panel first met at the Pentagon under the direction of Undersecretary of Defense Fred Ickley. So there you have Fritz Kramer, the faceless, and I believe the Waffen-SS Fritz Kramer, with Fred Ickley and the likes of Lansdale and Singlaub and Luttwak, and these people have the power to control a coup in the United States as well as any other country, and they were meeting in 1983, and Ickley again links to our plans for the next 20 years, to Fritz Kramer, and to Singlaub and that group in the White House, and I think it's important to keep an eye on how they send mercenaries out for various operations. Now, Jack Anderson had a story this Sunday called Special Operations. The United States Armed Forces are geared up for all-out war, but the war they're going to do is called Special Operations Low-Intensity Conflict, and that's what I was referring to last week, that controversial appointment of Mr. Berquist, Kenneth Berquist, that some people are opposing to be head of low-intensity conflict. And Jack Anderson said the Special Operations Forces were put together in 1986. Congress passed two laws, and this is very important to future of the third world, the free world, and even in America. Congress passed two laws on special operations and low-intensity conflict. It's SO-LIC. Because of bureaucratic foot-dragging, they may have to have a third bill to do what they should have done already. Congress, our own Congress, imagine, mandated three things. The creation of a special assistant to the president on the low-intensity conflict, a new military command post under a four-star general to cover special operations in all military services, and the new position of assistant secretary of defense for this operation. And what these people are planning for the next 20 years, just as we didn't declare war in Nicaragua, and we haven't declared war in a lot of countries, but we help with the coups. We didn't declare war in Chile or in Haiti, where we put in the right wings, or in Korea. We effectively put in these military dictatorships, but don't declare war. And low-intensity counterinsurgents is the kind of operation that is the death squads, the kind that makes Mr. Borghese and the Italian list very minute, considering who these people have offed. And Jack Anderson said the next candidate was from the Justice Department, Kenneth Berquist. That's the fellow I talked about last week, whose appointment temporarily is held up. He's a friend of Attorney General Edwin Meese. So again, we get Meese making appointments for low-intensity conflict, counterinsurgency, can you imagine? And then the article says Berquist had also the support of Frank Carlucci. Well, Carlucci is so closely linked to Edwin Wilson, Frank Turbel, Thomas Klein, Theodore Shackley, defendants of the Christic Institute, the EATSCO scam, and Michael Ledeen. And Carlucci wants his low-intensity conflict with this particular Berquist in there, and Congress had voted for this group. It's really outside the Pentagon. It's a special secret group. Now, there was an article just this past October from the L.A. Times titled, Philippine Vigilantes Reflect United States Strategy for Low-Intensity Conflict. And this will give you an example of what we're doing in the Philippines. Some weeks after he retired, Army Major John Singlaub told the Senate House Iran-Contra Committees about his fundraising activities on behalf of Nicaragua. Then he said, I went to the Philippines to research that country's communist insurgency. And you see how much money he sent to the Contras and the damage they've done. My travels went to the southern islands of Negros, Cebu, and Mindanao, and turned up evidence of counterinsurgency strategy advocated by Singlaub, this author says, is written by Peter Tart, and other private American citizens of the far right. They've been in Central America. Now they have taken root in the Philippines. The tactics that are used are what the Pentagon strategists call low-intensity conflict, a fight against communism, unconventional warfare, and Singlaub's credentials in unconventional warfare are well known. A former chief of the Joint Unconventional Task Force in Vietnam, he participated in Operation Phoenix, the CIA's notorious assassination program that resulted in the murder of 40,000 Viet Cong sympathizers. And there's a nice little tidy death list. Most recently, he served on President Reagan's Special Warfare Advisory Committee. So he's retired John Singlaub, and he's in the Pentagon with Fred Eakley and his secret team, and then he's on the President's Special Warfare, where we don't have to declare war, but we go in and take these countries. There remains much speculation throughout the Philippines on the purpose of his recent visits, spanning a period from July 1986 up to the President 87, and he's the former commander of U.S. forces in South Korea. Singlaub was the gentleman who wanted neutron bombs deployed to be used in South Korea against the North Koreans. And this article goes on, special commanders of the armed forces of the Philippines assured this author that these vigilante groups were unarmed, but everywhere I went, I saw M16 automatic rifles, fragmentation grenades, homemade pistols, a variety of machetes, bolo knives, and every turn, men, women, and children wielded these weapons. They were anxious to fight, prepared to die, to defend themselves against communism. We always hear about these martyrs that Khomeini is making, and yet Singlaub and the Central Intelligence and the Pentagon are turning these people into Philippine commandos that will die, these young people, and they call themselves the Midnight Attack Commandos. In a downtown street in Davao, there are they mention these midnight commandos, and they go around and boast about dismembering captured communist guerrillas. And that's where Singlaub's group are decapitating and putting the heads on sticks and marching through the towns, which is identical to what the Ustashi did in Yugoslavia. And then the heads of the Ustashi were taken, one to South America, and Mr. Arturgovich down to Long Beach, Seal Beach in California, where their political activism continued, and they have decapitated people in parade, and these people have evangelical religious literature that came from the United States to them, and the literature fills Davao, this area, and this article goes into the fanaticism of the police chief, Mr. Kalita. He's known as the godfather and the most successful of the counterinsurgency groups where Singlaub is going, and their group is called the Alsa Masa, which means masses arise. It was organized by gangs early in 1986, and the movement went nowhere until General Kalita went down to Davao, and then Singlaub connected there, and he spent his time there. The Alsa Masa was never a CIA project, but it is a project that is directly linked to the CIA and the Defense Department through the very people working down there. And this article goes into the kinds of vigilantes and the torture and the fanaticism that is going down in the Philippines with the help of the United States Army. And then the article continues that Mr. General Fidel Ramos, who was just promoted by Corazon Aquino, is turning far right. And I read that she also is employing Singlaub, but happy to have him there. She's decided to fight the communists. And March 19th, 1987, Richard Armitage, Undersecretary of Defense, Assistant Undersecretary of Defense, was there. And Armitage's name goes throughout this whole article. It's a long article. And, of course, again, he's the gentleman co-partner of Theodore Shackley, that Kung Saw says was and probably still is heavy into the drug traffic of Southeast Asia. And there's plenty of it coming up from the Philippines. And this is an article about vigilante justice and how they want to decapitate and hurt. And that the Philippines is a time bomb with weapons coming in from the United States and from people in the Pentagon, again, working under Fred Ickley, who's co-partner in the offices with Fritz Kramer. Last week, I mentioned that a controversial post of the Special Operations Low-Intensity Conflict, and I mentioned Representative Dan Daniel of Virginia, the chairman of the House Armed Services Readiness Subcommittee and House author of the Special Operations legislation. He said he was so upset that he testified it was the first time in 20 years he decided to oppose a White House nomination. This was January the 11th, 1988, in the Washington Post. Well, if you go to January the 24th, 1988, you get the obituary of Dan Daniel, congressman from Virginia, who was taken to a hospital earlier in the day of January the 24th. The officials officially didn't say why he died. He's a member of the House Armed Services Committee, and it was, of course, an apparent heart attack, and he was dead. He was put into the hospital, and he was dead. And the most vocal appointment, most vocal opposition to the appointment of Mr. Burquist, the man that Edwin Meese and Frank Carlucci wants, is tucked under Deep Sixth into the grave. And it's very much like to the Congressman Zorinsky. I mentioned that on World Watchers a while back. He was exposing the links of Oliver North and Theodore Shackley and Thomas Kleins to the Nukinhan Bank. And that gets into, again, the $500 million to a billion of missing money with the top military. And he was opening up those connections, the Nukinhan Bank, and just speaking about them. And he was at a public gathering where he collapsed and died of a heart attack. And there went Zorinsky. And the subject of Nukinhan and Iran-Contra hasn't come up since. Maybe people get a lesson. Maybe he's the only one that wanted to make the connections. But his Armed Services Committee was going into those connections of Iran-Contra. And so Dan Daniels is in the grave. And Meese and Carlucci can look a little better if they want to push this appointment through. And the death of Zorinsky is another untimely death of a person catching on to the connections of these various people. Now, there was an article in the San Francisco Chronicle, which is very serious, which has to do with the special operations low-intensity conflict in the United States. And it's the kind of thing which I see, collect. I'm watching it grow like a cancer in this country. I file it under paramilitary and survivalist. I read the Soldier of Fortune, I subscribe to it, and get gung-ho when I can, but I want to see who's behind. Robert Brown publishes who's behind all this, pictures of G. Gordon Liddy and Singlaub and their ilk. And the point about this story that is terribly important for all of us is what is going on in this country, and it's happening. This is just one example in Marin County. The title of the article is Battle Brewing Over War Games in the Woods. And for those of you who get World Watchers in other cities, other states, and even other countries, tell me if you're seeing these articles in your hometowns, too, and send me the clippings about them. I would appreciate, many of you do, just coordinate what you hear and send me clippings that are going on there. I have articles in Salinas about the Alpha 66 and the Anticastro Cubans training at Los Padres up in the hills and training their military battles. And this is the story of Marin County that is applicable to what that special operations low-intensity conflict can be in the United States. Marin County Park Ranger Ron Paoloni couldn't believe his eyes when he stood on the knoll west of Novato in December and saw an armed man dressed in full battle fatigues creeping through the bush. "I saw him before he saw me," Paloni said of the elusive soldier in the mid-30s. "When he saw me, he hit the ground and scrambled away on his belly so fast I didn't catch up with him." Paoloni is not the only nature enthusiast in Marin County to suddenly find himself staring at an incredibly realistic rifle barrel. The soldier was just one of the growing number of people who've taken out their everyday aggression by playing war games in the woods. Now, I don't believe this is psychological relief, just like blowing gas or some other thing, or anger that now I'm going to take a gun and run around. I think these are paramilitary training for taking over areas of the United States. The Minutemen said they wanted stations every 20 miles across the United States, and that was in the 60s, and they could have achieved it. The Minutemen worked with Lamar Hunt and the AVS group, the American Volunteer Group, the AVG group, and they intended to kill 10,000 liberal Americans, and the training has been going on by these same people, and they're becoming more visible. The article said that platoons, and again, they're practicing their aggression, platoons toting $70 Uzi submachine guns and stalking the enemy in mock battles do not mix well in Marin County's hiking set. The sight of camouflaged warriors with lampac on their faces is so shocking. In fact, some of the people who frequent the county's 7,000 acres of parkland want these games outlawed. And I think all of these survivalist war games and the Franklin campers and these schools for teaching to blow up airplanes and atomic camps should be just closed across the country. The article says they came out of nowhere with lifelike weapons, shooting paint shells at each other so that it's terribly intimidating. Next month, Marin County Supervisor will be asked to ban the G.I. Joes from the county's only lands, open lands, on recommendations of park officials and open space representatives who want to use the land kept for passive purposes. Imagine watching the fatigues, the painted faces, and guerrilla training, and knowing that they just as likely will come down from those hills and swoop into the town anytime they want and could have radio controls or listening posts and know exactly what areas are going to take. The article says, we're not talking about a couple of kids playing with cap pistols. These war games are scaring off other visitors. We've had citizens encountering a whole group of 10 people wearing uniforms, wearing helmets, shooting plastic guns. When the hikers come across these guys, they don't stop to ask questions. They turn around and leave. And just believe that every man, woman, and child who has a plastic gun there has a real gun at home if you have this mindset. The article says, although officials do not believe Marin County has any organized club promoting the game, many Marin residents have joined a 70-member Sonoma War Games Club. Members capture enemy flags in 20-man mock battles. The Sonoma Club plays on private lands. Dodging bullets is great exercise, said their organizer, Daniel Garstecki, who works as a computer programmer. I sit around all week and it gets boring. The club has a big battle every Easter Sunday in northern Sonoma County, where 100 foot soldiers play on 700-acre battlefield and shoot one another for ribbons at $5 entry fee. Everybody, according to Sandy Armstrong, owner of G.I. Joe's in Santa Rosa Outlet, knows it's authentic military government-issued stock. And I also have articles on the tanks, war tanks, that are being put together. And they have parades around the country where they're assembling war tanks all throughout the country. And they could stop certain major highways and close them off if they wanted to. The article says these people who are upset over the military type of activity, why can't they leave us alone? We're not hurting anybody. It's good, clean fun. Well, we're not hurting anybody yet any more than the Freikorps did in Germany. It just hurt a few people. But how do we know the future mindset or what they're doing it for if America is dotted with these groups and organizations such as the Aryan Nations up in Idaho, Franklin Camper's Place, G. Gordon Liddy has a training camp like this, and Mitchell Werbel did. His son probably continues it. Multiply the kinds of mentality that are going across the United States and maybe in every state and in the mountains that we're not hearing about in California. Anderson says at this G.I. Joe shop where they have the authentic uniforms of the military that she sells 15,000 tubes of paintballs every 2 weeks, 15,000 balls every 2 weeks, and is constantly reordering the pink and blue marbleized size pellets used for the war games. The water-soluble paint can be fired with a 50-yard range, and when you hit, you know you're dead. Now, just transport that and practice firing on each other and then put a bullet and meet the enemy. You know you're dead, 15,000 of them. The Marin officials agree that even though complaints about war games have increased, There are no reports of injuries. Well, they're not going to kill anybody. They're not going to injure anybody. There's no injuries when you go to a rifle range. There's absolutely no injury with practicing your gun and shooting your Uzi machine gun. The injury comes when you go out in the world to use it against somebody if you don't like somebody. That's when the injury happens. To say there's no injuries now doesn't mean there won't be a lot of deaths later. And that's such a feeble excuse, like letting out my aggressions. The article continues, I'd rather have people carry out aggression that way and have fun doing it rather than going to a playground where somebody could get shot by mistake. Now, those aren't the only alternatives, one to go to a playground and the other to bottle up your aggressions. Maybe there should be more psychiatrists and less war movies and less killing on television and less hatred when people like Pat Robertson say, I think we should kill Gaddafi and killing is all right, and he advocates killing public officials, or we should kill Khomeini, or they have dartboards of Khomeini and public figures, and they plan to kill Salvador Allende or Diem or whoever you want. The choice isn't aggressions or bottling those up and shooting at a school. There must be other choices in this country. And I remember when Mr. Oaks, American Indian, was shot, and the men that shot him got off, and they said it was open hunting season for Indians. And that quotation has come up several times for killing American Indians. Besides, the article continues, we have 300 square miles where these games might be going on. It's hard enough to enforce the leash law. And the Sonoma County people said that even if Marin takes a stand against the war games, it will never happen in Sonoma County. It will never happen because we have more rednecks here. Now, that tells you where they are. The rednecks are the people in charge of Sonoma County government that wouldn't stop this. So they know who they're dealing with, and the rednecks are buying these T-shirts and sweatshirts, kill a commie, and maybe I should bring in Soldier of Fortune next week if you don't get it on the stands and read to you some of the material that they have regarding killing and just one issue and believe that it's serious. And this is just a microcosm, I know, of the training of these people in California, and it is pertinent because they will be part of the special operations low-intensity conflict when it comes home. If we, in quotes, lose Nicaragua, which we didn't own in the first place, if we lose it, then the war comes home. If we lost Vietnam, then Sing Lao and his special forces counterinsurgency and Reverend Gale and the whole gang, Richard Butler from Lockheed, he puts on the collar of a church man and begins training to take America, because we're commie simps and Congress doesn't know what's good for America. Congress is the enemy, as I mentioned last week in the article on the elite that make the foreign policy. Now, in the few minutes to conclude, I just want to share a quotation from Alex Coburn, who was speaking of the Julia Morgan Theater. He was at a presentation with Larry Bensky from KPFA December the 4th. And somebody asked him a question, why does the media ignore the Christic Institute? And Alexander Coburn said, this is what somebody taped it off there and typed it up for me. This is what he said. Christic Institute. I think more than anything, that gives some of the, if not all of the people named in the Christic Institute suit. I think there were 29 of them. A hard time is probably a pretty good time, which is Richard Secord and Shackley and the other ones. I have a couple of reservations about it. One, I think there's a tendency, not necessarily in their suit, but in the way the suit's discussed and some of the expressions of it, to read American history in the post-war period or a substantial part of the post-war period as a conspiracy, as something done by a secret team that's run to thwart on an otherwise benign U.S. foreign policy. Now, that somehow reminds me of the people who spent a lot of time preoccupied in the 60s with the assassination theories. He doesn't talk about Mr. Borghese in Permanex. With the Kennedy assassination conspiracy, think about it. The assassination of the Kennedys and reading a lot of history in terms of ever more Baroque conspiracy. Now, there are a lot of very Baroque conspiracies in recent history, and there's no question of that. But I don't think there's any mystery about who's been running the central conspiracy of the imperial project. It's the U.S. government There's no secret team. It's an open team. Well, I think Sing Laub and Fred Eakley and SS, Waffen SS, Fritz Kramer, if he is that Waffen SS, he doesn't come forward, and Sven Kramer are very much the secret team. He says it's the U.S. government. There's no secret team. And I cited earlier the 1983 meetings of these secret teams in the Pentagon and the low intensity, the counterinsurgency and the death squads going on in Philippines, ready to take that over after we clean up in Nicaragua. And he says it's an open team. They're all just sitting there, and you can see who they are. It is the U.S. government, not 29 individuals. I think that's a thing that the Christic suit sometimes obscures slightly, particularly when people think of the Christic suit as a political project of their own. I mean, again, I hope the suit succeeds. I think the ends acting on behalf of Honey and Avergan is just fine. But I think to see the political project or the way as it were to go forward from Iran-Contra is a bit of a mistake. I have reservations. I think the suit should go forward, but not to see history as a conspiracy, not to see the suit as the avenue of major political organizing. Well, that is Alex Coburn, the great liberal who writes for The Nation, formerly a Village Voice, who passes himself off as a liberal, who speaks in the Wall Street Journal and writes for Ladies Home Journal, not Ladies Home Journal, but House and Garden. The well-known Alex Coburn that everybody reveres as the great voice of liberalism, and he will totally ignore these facts of what conspiracy is and the kind of people that I've been mentioning this evening and for many, many weeks in the past and will continue to do in the future. Now, I'm going to continue World Watchers in a few moments with the second part of this program. We're going to take calls. That's your part to contribute to listening and calling in and telling me what's on your mind. And I will conclude by saying the previous hour of World Watchers has been made possible in part by Aries Arts in the heart of Capitola Village, serving Santa Cruz's growing consciousness for over 20 years. This is Mae Brussel, and I'll be back with you in just a few moments.